get serious about building content sites and building a profitable business online? Welcome to the Niche Website Builders Podcast. We bring you the latest field-tested tips, tricks, and strategies for building a profitable online asset. We interview industry experts, share customer success stories, and reveal our own experiences working on hundreds of sites to inspire and motivate you to make something happen. Let's do this.
Welcome to the Niche Website Builders Podcast. Today we have Jasper Peterson, and if you are having Google indexing issues, then you need to watch and listen to this podcast. Jasper drops an epic knowledge bomb of how he was able to get his site indexed with one simple trick, and it is one simple trick. So listen to this if you're having troubles, and you'll get that. We'll also cover a few case studies of his. He runs multiple sites. I guess like we all have shiny object syndrome. So as a current site that's just come out of the sandbox, his process around that, one of the sites that was hit by the December 2020 Google update, what he's done since then to try revive it, and what he's doing now with it. We actually cover that indexing issue. So he was front loading content, and then the trick he used and others have used to actually help index that content. And it doesn't have to do with API through Rank Math or anything like that. And then we also cover foreign language niche websites. So he lives in Amsterdam, has a Dutch background. So he has a couple of sites in Dutch, and we talk about the competition there, how he's kind of gone about it, and then how it compares monetization-wise regarding revenue in terms of ad revenue and affiliate revenue, but also the keyword research, obviously, because keyword research is a little different just because there's not that search volume and traditional tools are a little harder to use in that space. So enjoy.
This episode is brought to you by Niche Website Builders, an agency dedicated to helping people just like you build profitable content sites. Niche Website Builders are the hands-off content site marketing agency you always wished existed. It's run by content site marketers for content site marketers, and they help both investors and individuals alike build profitable online properties. They provide a fully outsourced approach to content creation, link building, and done-for-you website builds, the same approach they use on their own six-figure portfolios. For example, their content packages come with a proprietary keyword research process, are written by in-house native English speakers, formatted using templates proven to convert, and uploaded to WordPress with affiliate links added so that all you need to do is hit the publish button. Check them out at nichewebsite.builders/show. That's nichewebsite.builders/show, and fill out the form to get coupon codes for 10% more content or a 10% discount on links with your first order sent right to your inbox.
Welcome to the Niche Website Builders Podcast. Today we have Jasper Peters. I'll probably pronounce that completely wrong, even though you just told me how to pronounce it. How are you going, Jasper?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. So for the people listening, do you want to give us a brief background about yourself? I'm going to jump straight into some of your case studies.
Yeah, sure. So I'm Jasper Peterse, pronounced in Dutch. I'm a 23-year-old website builder, blogger, however you want to call it. I'm in the Netherlands, and I'm currently owning a portfolio of about 6 sites, some in Dutch and some in English.
Perfect. I should be better at pronouncing your last name. My wife is part Afrikaans, so she's...
That's similar.
Yeah, exactly. She speaks exactly pretty much similar language, so I should be better. She'll be mad at me now. So
I got something to practice.
Exactly. So let's start maybe with your current site that you mentioned just got out of the sandbox now. How many posters it has, and what was your process around building that site?
Yeah, so that site was started when another site of mine got hit by a core update, which we'll surely talk about later on. And I mainly started the site to kind of diversify and have some more income streams because, overnight I lost most of my traffic and income. So I just wanted something else there. But the core update did have kind of an impact on me and how much I was working. So the site currently doesn't have that many articles. I believe there's just short of 100 articles on there. So it's still a pretty small site, and it was in the sandbox for about like 12 to 14 months. Yeah. And I already kind of wrote it off as like a failure because, well, after 12 months of seeing nothing, to me, that's kind of a sign that maybe I'm not doing something right. But suddenly, it just picked up. And right now it's nearing the 30,000 page views a month mark. And I'm kind of trying to just double down on content because I'm back in my motivation spurt. So let's just double down on it.
Are you able to share the niche or maybe the general topic?
It's in the accessory slash beauty niche. I kind of try to keep them a secret. I've had to deal with a lot of copiers, so yeah.
No, fair enough. So 100 posts over around 12 months. What was your process regarding the keyword research? Do you have maybe a specific method that you like to use or a way you like to find keywords? And then after you've found your keywords, do you have a way that you like to attack your content? For example, maybe starting with lower competition, or do you just kind of cover everything?
I always try to start with low competition, but I also try to cover everything, just start with the low competition. But the way I did the keyword research when I first started this site was to basically just use the alphabet soup method. So type in my seed keyword and then A, B, C, and just go on. And then you get the more niche down questions, and I would try to do the same there with A, B, C. I also look at the people also ask section, because there's a lot of great questions there as well. But at a certain point, I noticed that a few particular types of articles were doing really well. So I just, over the last like 4 months, I've been mainly writing those types of articles.
Okay. So you don't mind then if it's just a auto-suggest, I guess, question, even though it doesn't have any search volume and all that, you'll cover it regardless?
Yeah. No, I don't really focus on search volume. So far, the numbers always seemed kind of off to me. So even with my large site, which was reaching nearly 250,000 page views a month, I never really looked at the search volume, because it usually just seemed kind of off to me.
Yeah. With that site now, is that currently monetized? Is it making any money?
The new site we just covered?
The one that just got out of the sandbox.
Yeah, I just I believe in the start of January, I added the site to Azoic, and it's been making some pretty steady money now. So I believe the 30-day average of the last 30 days was about like 400 during those 30 days, with an RPM of about $20 to $22. So that's looking really good.
That's very nice. So is it purely an display ad play, or are there have you got a filler?
For now it is, yeah. And no, for now it is purely display ads.
Gotcha. And you plan to add the affiliate content in the future? Was that planned, I guess, in the beginning, where you wanted to just cover the informational stuff and then move into the more buyer intent?
So the thing is, I mentioned that I got hit by a core update, and I believe the reason for that was because I was mainly writing buyer intent articles. So I just really wanted to stay away from that for now, at least for the beginning, just so I could get the bulk of informational articles out there, so I don't end up with like a 90-10 ratio for informational to content, or informational to buyer intent content. So for now, it's not on the agenda, but it's definitely something I don't want to miss out on.
Yeah, fair enough. Before we jump to that core update site, what's the future plans with this site to continue to grow it then?
So I've been doing some keyword research lately, and I think, as I mentioned, there's not even 100 articles on there, but I'm confident that I can get the site to 1,000 or maybe 2,000 articles. So really the plan is that this site it's just the main priority for a little while, at least for the coming 6 months. I'm just going to pour everything I have into this website and just see where it lands.
Are you writing the content, or are you outsourcing?
I am writing myself, but I'm also outsourcing a lot.
Do you have any tips or advice for people that are looking to outsource their content? Maybe where you find them, how much you're willing to pay, maybe any kind of, I guess, interview questions, or how you select them and hire them?
Yeah, so currently I'm just using a content service, which is called We Write Blog Posts, and I've been really happy with,
the
content they delivered. Yeah, I've been super happy with their quality. So they are a little more expensive than I used to pay my own writers, but so far I've been just very happy with them, so I'll just keep on ordering with them. But I also used to have a team of 6 writers, which I all hired myself. And really the main things I was looking at was that they were native English speakers. That was important to me. And other than that, I didn't really care that much. I just had a Google form, and I let them fill that in. And a few questions there were basically just tell me a little bit about yourself. And usually from a story like that, you can kind of see how this person is writing, what kind of flow they have. And I would basically just judge upon that. And from there, I would just train them to write to my liking.
That's actually a good tip, just to kind of give them some space to, I guess, to write. And then you can kind of see, you know, how much fluff they add to their story as well.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you can get straight to the point, or you see someone. I had one person that she wrote like a 7 paragraph article on just a very simple question. I was like, yeah, I mean, it's written nicely, but if I'm going to pay by the word, I don't want this. So this is just too much.
How much are you generally paying per word?
I used to only go for 2 cents. I've been upping that to 3 and sometimes 4 cents. It really just depends on the writer. I mean, of course, I want it to be as cheap as possible, but there is a certain limit for what you can get for as cheap as possible.
Yeah, for sure. And if anyone's listening and after content, obviously Niche Website Builders, if you jump on the website there, there's plenty of content you can order as well. But jumping through to your site that was hit by the update, I know that was a bit of a behemoth site, wasn't it? It was making had a huge amount of page views. So you want maybe cover maybe its previous stats, how much it was making, all that stuff, and then I guess after the penalty as well.
Yeah, sure. So I started this site as my very first site. It was back in December of 2018. And this was my very first site. And after 12 months, I was already earning about 4,000 a month with this one website. I did realize that this is probably an exception because it was just a lot of money, especially for a 12-month-old website. And then the next year came along and things started to go down during the pandemic, but it quickly picked up. And at the end of November of 2020, I was averaging around 250,000 page views a month with about an income of $8,000 a month.
That's nice.
That was like my highest point at that time. But that high point, it was immediately like smacked down by the core update because a few days later, the core update just came around and overnight, about 80% of the traffic was just gone and it never really recovered either.
So how were you monetizing that site then? You mentioned it was buyer intent stuff. Was it mainly Amazon?
Yeah, so that's the funny thing about it. It was mainly buyer intent. So I believe like 95% of the articles were best X for Y. But like the majority of the money still came from ads. And even though like every single article had like 10 plus affiliate links to certain article or certain products in Amazon, like the majority of the money was still coming in from ads.
That's interesting. So what would you say was the, I guess, percentage split between your display ads and Amazon?
Probably about 70% ads and 30% Amazon, something like that.
Ah, that's interesting. Well, I guess without sharing too much, are you able to share maybe the general topic that it was on?
This was a purely beauty niche. So,
So beauty's like your play.
I'm trying to come up with an example. I believe I talked with Adam about this. My niche selection process is like just look around in my room. What do I see? And if there's something I think a good site, good topic, I'll just start a site on it. So I just looked around my room and I found two of those items, and those are now two sites of mine.
Do you ever link your sites together since they're in a similar niche?
No, I mean, beauty is a pretty broad word, so they are not that related.
Gotcha. All right, so 250,000 page views, you're making $8,000 a month, you got hit. What have you done since then to help recover your site, and where is it at now?
Yeah, so I tried a bunch of things. First off, I think the most important part with the core update is to just sit it out for the first few weeks just to see if Google kind of reverts things. That didn't happen. So what I was doing then is I just looked at my November traffic and I took the top 50 articles and I would just try and improve them. A lot of the articles were written when I first started, and with English not being my first language, a lot of the articles were not the best quality or not as good as they could be. So first off, I just went back and I kind of rewrote a lot of these articles and I then redirected them, but that didn't really help. I then tried to just remove all the affiliate links flat out, see if that would do anything, seeing that the bulk of the money was still coming in from ads anyway. So but that didn't do anything either. I then tried to add a more personal voice. So most of my articles were pretty objective. There was no like, I think, or I like this particular product. So I just tried that, but still no results. So in my eyes, like this site is kind of tainted now. So I kind of quit working on it since July of last year.
So you haven't done anything since those things and kind of just left it to see if it comes back?
Yeah, true.
Okay. So you mentioned that you went back and you went through some of the old content that that you considered as thin content and was updating? What in your eyes is, I guess, thin content or content that's not up to scratch for Google?
Yeah, well, in this case, it was mainly just the way I wrote the articles. There was one article, I believe it was like my 30th article ever, but it was bringing a consistent like 5,000 pages a month. Mm. So I didn't want to touch it. But once it lost all its traffic, there was no harm in trying. But when you go back to one of your earliest articles you ever wrote, one of the first ones, there's of course a lot that you just think like, how do they even write it? Like, come on. So I just updated a lot of them grammatically, made them flow better, made them read much more nicer, added some pictures, some infographics where they fit. So that was mainly what I did, because I do think that it wasn't really thin content. I still think that the content is pretty good.
So it wasn't the content length that was an issue then, it was more so how it was written?
I think it's more so how it was written. The content length was an average of 2,500 words an article.
Okay, yeah, that's pretty beefy. So then how are you setting these articles out? So this, I guess this kind of comes down to this case study where you got hit, but also your newer site that's running now. How are you setting these articles out, I guess, informational articles and then also your buyer intent? So your informational articles, are you setting out various headings based on what you see on Google or other pages, or have you got another process that you go through?
Yeah, so I'll just start with the easiest one, which is the product focus article. They were primarily just best X for Y. So what I did was, first off, the first header was just a brief explanation of what the article was about. And then it was just number one, product number two, product number three. And it just continued until the list was done. So that was pretty easy. But with my informational articles, I always try to, the first subheading is usually like the title. I try to make the title at least a little bit clickbaity, but still to the point. But then I just want a larger answer to the main question. So that's usually the first subheading for me. After that, I typically just go to the people also ask section, because I'm trying to just get those snippets there as well. And usually I see a lot of like relevant searches. And if I don't see, I'll just make some of myself, like what would I actually want to know if I'm looking this question up. So those are basically the two main ways I go about it.
Do you also use the related searches at the very bottom to edit the article, or do you use those as separate topics?
I try to use those, but typically what I see is that they really aren't questions of any sort. So usually I just see the product and then with some specs behind it or something like that. And I kind of struggle to make a sort of relevant question out of that.
Yeah, fair enough. So moving on, you've got a third, I think it's a third site, isn't it, where you try to front load the content on the site. I'm assuming it's beauty niche again, or something similar. No, not this one.
No. This one is in the real estate.
Oh, okay, okay. So, what's your experience there regarding front loading? What did you do? What did you expect to get out of it? And what did you end up finding? And where is it now? That's a lot of questions. I'm sorry.
Yeah, don't worry about it. So I wanted to try it out because there was a lot of talk about people, the indexing issues were running pretty rampant, and there were a lot of like solutions like H domains, and some people suggested front loading your site with a lot of content. So I was like, 2,500 for an H domain is a little out of reach for me right now, so let's just try and front load it and try to get like 100 articles on there in the first week and just see what that does. I wasn't in a hurry, so if it still took the normal amount of time, I wouldn't be worried about it. But the kind of sad thing about this case study is that the indexing issues were still there for me. So after about 3 or 4 months, the articles weren't even in the discovered not indexed section. They weren't found at all.
Oh, wow. And that was on a brand new domain.
That was on a brand new domain, yeah.
So is there, I guess, anything you've done since to get them indexed? Are they still not indexed at all, or are you just kind of writing it out?
Yeah, so I've got a pretty unusual solution for it. So I talked with some people, and some others had the same problem. And one of them recommended me to just swap my name servers over to the ones from Mesoic. I know it sounds really weird, but I tried it. And like a week later, all of the articles were starting to get indexed.
Okay, wait. So where were your name servers pointed to before that?
To my WPX host, just my normal hosting plan.
Just normal hosting. And then just changing the name servers Tui Zoic then started you, basically your site started to get indexed.
It did for me, and it is for the people that recommended it to me. It could either be that or just a very huge coincidence.
Interesting. I wonder if that would work, even just changing name servers, just changing name servers to anything, or if it's just has to be changed to Ezoic. That's
yeah, I don't know about that. I changed it to Ezoic, but I still haven't served any ads to the website or anything like that. It's literally just sitting there on their name server, and that's it. But it seemed to have fixed my problem, because even the newer articles, they don't get in, they get indexed pretty fast now.
That's very, very interesting. I'm gonna have to keep that one in mind. I've never heard that. Okay.
No, I've never heard people talk about it either.
Yeah. Oh, well, there you go. There's a golden nugget for the listeners on here. If you're having indexing issues, just throw your name servers through to Ezoic and you should be okay. So you don't just play in the English market. Obviously, coming with a Dutch background, you've kind of tapped into that area as well. So you have a couple of foreign language sites. How does the competition compare with your foreign language sites compared to your English sites?
Yeah, it's basically non-existent compared to English. It's actually the main reason I started a couple of Dutch sites. And even though I haven't really built them out, both are less than 30 articles on there, I believe. And in English, I don't think you'll get anywhere with less than 30 articles nowadays. But these still bring quite a lot of page views. I mean, one of the websites is basically like the Dutch version of the site that got hit by the core update. So it's in the same niche. It only has 22 articles on there, but it still brings in like 2,000 to 3,000 page views every month. It's not much, but I don't expect these kind of results with an English site with so little articles. And the other one, it brings in about, it's a very seasonal site. So in this high season, it brings in about 10,000 page views still with like 35 articles on there.
Okay. How do the EPMVs compare then? Are you still making, I guess, decent ad revenue with a different demographic?
It's pretty low. So Dutch, I think it's still like at least somewhat high paying in terms of advertising, but it's not up there with American. So I can kind of directly compare them, because both of my sites have been on Ezoic, and the English version of the site saw an RPM of about $15 to $17, while the Dutch one only has about $7 RPM.
Gotcha. So are you monetizing any other way, or do you have plans to monetize in different ways?
Yeah, so since it's basically like a Dutch version of the beauty site, there's also a lot of best X for Y articles on there. So a lot of options for affiliate links. But to be honest, I just haven't really gotten to it. I wanted to do it, but I just haven't signed up for the affiliate program, or I haven't changed any links or something like that.
Hmm. If you're doing Amazon, are the commissions higher?
Yeah, I believe the lowest are in the US. Even the UK Amazon commissions are like double that from the US. German are pretty standard, around like 8%, I believe.
Okay, so if any of you speak another language, maybe get into Amazon in one of these other countries and get those 8% commissions back.
Right.
So then how are you doing your keyword research in Dutch then? Because are you able to use traditional tools, or you just go through Google?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, there's only about 30 million people speaking Dutch. So the auto suggest is just there isn't that much. So the thing I did for the beauty site is I basically just took my top performing topics from the English one and just wrote them in Dutch, because I thought if English people are looking this up, probably Dutch people will as well. But they also have another website in Dutch, and that one I basically just did the traditional alphabet soup method, but you just get a lot more like surface level questions, so there's not really questions going into extreme detail.
Yeah, just because there's not that volume of people
searching. Yeah, there just aren't people looking it up.
Are you writing the content then with your background, or are you outsourcing some of that Dutch content?
In Dutch, I write everything myself. And the main reason for that is if I want to pay 2 cents a word, I'd rather pay that for a website that will have an RPM of about $17 instead of a website that will have $5 to $7 RPM. So if I'm going to spend any time or energy on such a site, I will just pour some spare time I have myself, and I'll just write some.
Nice. So have you got future plans for these foreign websites then to grow them? Are these kind of going to be what you focus on because the competition's lower?
Yeah, so I've really been thinking about my future plans lately, and I kind of ruled out Dutch sites because they just had little low RPMs and just a low how do you call it? You just don't get that many visitors. Sorry, I
Yeah.
lose track. You just don't get that many visitors. But I also realized that the particular beauty website I have in Dutch is on a pretty small topic, so. I kind of did some research and I saw that even like very general broad topics like even personal finance and stuff like that, it just has little competition in Dutch. So instead of going after these like more niche down websites, I am planning on starting like a website in a very broad niche, like think about a travel niche or a real estate niche, something like that.
That's a good idea, and then just cream it on the affiliate commissions and different things as well.
Yeah,
I guess
exactly.
even with small traffic, if you can convert high ticket stuff, you should be good to go.
Yeah, exactly. And even like $7 RPM with a lot of thousands visitors a month is still pretty decent money.
So are both those Dutch sites in the beauty niche?
No, one is in the boating niche. This is
Okay.
one I'm actually pretty open
Oh.
about. It's a boating site.
Okay. Do you want to maybe go into a little more detail onto the boating site then? Maybe,
Sure.
yeah. Maybe dive it since that one's, I guess, more of an open case study. Maybe we can dive into the kind of different category or silos you have in there. Yeah, and we'll cover from there.
Yeah, I'll just get it up real quick.
Oh,
Yeah,
nice.
so the problem with this site is that it is still pretty small. There's like less than 30 or 40 articles, something like that. So there really isn't that much in terms of like silos. I do have a lot of categories. So it's boating in Dutch. So I had a few categories like rules. There's a lot of rules in place, just like for your driver's license. It's the same for boating. And then the most articles I written were about like what kind of like destinations are there in the Netherlands to go to with your boat. My parents are like big boat fans. They love it. They are like 4 weeks on their boat in summer. And they kind of like go sail through the entire Netherlands. So they had some experience there. And we know a lot of like these little details of these certain islands are like very nice to visit. So that was the main focus. And after that, I do have like a lot of other categories, but I just haven't really gotten to those.
Gotcha. So what are the categories you're looking to add to that?
I've got one like general information. I always like to include this one if I don't really know where the article fits in what other category. So I always include that one. One for upkeep because a boat needs some upkeep, of course, and maintenance. And then I had the different sort of boats. So you got motor boats, sail boats, there's little rubber boats, row boats. I also wanted to cover all of those.
Will you be adding like boating parts as kind of like your buyer intent stuff, or are you kind of keeping this full informational?
I wanted to, but that's where I think the Dutch audience is just too small. I tried it, and there isn't that much written on it. There isn't any other suggest that shows any results for it either. So maybe not necessarily parts, but I do think like these overboard motors, maybe that's a good article. That is something that is still broad enough, I feel like. But like very specific parts, I don't think there's an audience for it.
Maybe under the upkeep section, we probably end up recommending products if you're
Yeah, of
teaching
course.
someone how to, basically maintain their boat. Do you have an internal linking strategy then that you use for these Dutch sites, similar to you would use for your, I guess, your bigger English sites as well?
I always try to interlink where relevant, but in the case of like the boating site, I have these destinations and I kind of divided them up in the provinces of the Netherlands. And it's just really easy to
Okay.
interlink. So if you have one province like South Holland, you can just interlink to all the other ones in that article. Other than that, I do always try to make sure that every article is at least linked to once internally. If not, I'll typically just go out of my way, add another paragraph, and make it fit in because I don't really like often post.
Yeah. Okay. So then do you have a specific, I guess, anchor text you like to use, or is it just internal linking? It doesn't matter what the anchor text is.
Yeah, it's just internal linking. Like usually I just write about something and I'm like, oh wait, I've already written about this in more detail. So let's just link to it. I don't really have any specific like anchor text.
Gotcha. And then Are you looking to prioritize pages within that? So like if you have a keyword that brings in X, maybe 100,000 views or whatever, are you looking to internally link more to certain articles than others, or are you just like, I'm just spreading it around?
I'm typically just spreading it around, but I also like the idea of if an article is performing well, let's just try to keep it that way. But on the other end, I also do the opposite, because that article is bringing in like 100,000 page views a month, something like that you said. Let's just interlink from that article to other ones and just share the same click. So there's 100,000 people coming in. If I have like 5 internal links pointing to another article on the website, that could really add up to a nice chunk of extra page views.
Gotcha. One thing we haven't touched on is off page. So in terms of your backlink strategy, maybe let's start with the foreign sites, because that's maybe a little different to what people might be used to. Have you done any, I guess, outreach or bought links for these sites? And do you have a strategy for your off page for these sites at all?
So far, backlinking just hasn't been a part of the strategy at all. I've never done any outreach, nor have I ever contacted a service for backlinking. But recently, I have really been looking into it, and I'm not really sure where to start. I wanted to outsource some Haro. That's really the main focus right now. I just haven't gotten to it yet. But so far, like, backlinking hasn't been part of the strategy. Because I didn't feel like I needed it. But right now, I do see the merit in it.
Gotcha. So if anyone listening as well, do you want to maybe explain Haro, just in case someone's not sure what that is?
Yeah, so I'm still very inexperienced with it. I haven't even made an account yet, but it's helping reporter out. And from what I understand is you've got reporters there that are looking for answers, and you can answer those questions. And sometimes they'll leave you a backlink in their article. I'm not sure if I got that correct.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, Niche Website Builders also has a Haro service. So if anyone's looking to outsource that stuff, jump on the Niche Website Builders website and you can do that there too. So with your English sites then, you haven't done any outreach or anything there, but you're looking to potentially do that to level them up?
Yeah, I do. So my main beauty site, it really didn't. It got a lot of backlinks just all organically. So that was really my only experience. And with my newer sites, I was like, well, it happened once. Why wouldn't it happen again? But right now I see the website is like 14, 15 months old. It does get backlinks, just not that many. So I've also been talking with a lot of different people, because I started out with Income School and they're really not into the backlinking. I've now come in contact with a lot of people that are, and I'm really just kind of see why it would make sense to start backlinking.
Yeah. So the site that got, I guess you say, a lot of natural backlinks, was that to a certain article that you wrote, or was that kind of across the whole site?
I think it's across the whole site. I never really actually like analyzed it.
Okay. So there's no like, I guess, skyscraper style content that kind of covered, or content that had some stats in it that was cited a lot?
No, I don't think so. Like, as I mentioned, like, backlinking wasn't part of the strategy. I never really gave it a thought, so I never actually looked in detail like what articles are getting backlinks. So I can't really say much about it.
I actually wonder if your site that got hit with a Google update, if it would come back to life throwing some links at it.
It may come back to life. The thing is, with this site, I kind of wrote it off already. I have been working on it for 9 months. It was just draining me. It was really taking away all my energy that I wanted to pour into the other side. So for that site, it just made sense to just stop it.
Are you planning to sell it then, or are you just looking to just kind of let it die a slow death?
Yeah, it's currently dying a pretty slow death. I just see a very gradual decrease in page views. But the thing is, even though it got hit and it lost 80% of the traffic, it still brings in about $800 to $1,200 every single month. And
that's all right.
Yeah, that's not bad at all. And in fact, it makes up the bulk of my website income so far. So until I have a suitable replacement, I don't plan on selling this website.
Gotcha. All right. So what's the future plans for you then regarding your sites? You've got these sites now. You plan to start any new ones, or is it purely focused on what you currently have?
Yeah. That's a difficult question. I suffer from shiny object syndrome like no other.
Like we all do.
Yeah, exactly. I can literally take a stroll and I see like five different niche sites right in front of me. So far I have one or two that I really, really want to start. One is just it has no websites at all, and I'm pretty sure there's a lot of volume there. So it kind of feels stupid to just not go after that. But honestly, the main plan is to just write for the website that is just currently growing the most. I have two websites that I want to focus on this year. One is the one where I front loaded all the content, and the other one is the one that got out of the sandbox. The plan right now is since the front loading stuff already kind of failed because of the indexing issues, I just want to let it sit. There's about 100 articles on there, so I just want to let it sit. And once that site comes to life, I'll give it the attention again. But really, for now, I think the best way to go about it is to just pour all of my attention into the site that's currently just giving the most results.
So you're trying to ignore the shiny object syndrome and
I'm
focus all
trying
your
my
efforts
hardest.
into one or two sites. That's good advice for all of us out there that are always looking to start new projects and new things. I mean, I think we're all guilty of it, aren't we?
Yeah, probably. It's really difficult. I mean, these sites are so easy to make. There's literally like in every single object there is a site. And yeah, we all have our own interests, so it's difficult to just stay focused on one of them.
Have you thought about turning your, I guess, your smaller niche site topics into bigger, broader, I guess you could say authority topics regarding like within your beauty niche or anything like that to expand the monetization, expand, I guess, the amount of content you can put on there?
I really should look into that. So I always try to pick a domain that just includes everything right from the start, or at least is broad enough so that I can include everything. I did realize that with the case study site with the front loading, for example, I went with a domain name that's just really niche down. So it could make sense if that site actually picks up to kind of move it over to something more broad. On the other hand, I'm also just kind of thinking about if that website is bringing decent income, let's just sell it off, lock in the income, lock in the profits, and just move on to a new project.
You want to give us an example of how you pick a domain name for, I don't know, maybe like a hair, like let's say like hair gel product. Are you looking at like partial match kind of things, or are you going broad or something like hair care or some kind of beauty thing?
Yeah, I would probably go for something like hair care, and I know this is a weakness of mine because I would go for hair care where I would be sure that a month later I would regret not going for beauty care or something like that. But I still think like hair care is still a really broad niche. It also kind of depends on what your goals are because not everyone is looking to build a mega site with thousands of articles. Sometimes it just makes sense to go for a website that maybe has 200, 300 articles on there.
Yeah, so then you're just looking at I guess something to do with hair, or even lower down, maybe it's just to do with hair products or hair gel or whatever it is.
Yeah, I usually look at like words that re are related to the main niche, so hair gel, maybe like hair gel styler or something. I'm just making things up. And one thing I also always like to do is, and I'm not sure how to do this for hair gel, but let's say you're playing football. What I also always like to do is see if a domain like thefootballer.com is available. That's also something I really like to go after because these are pretty general. They sound nice. They're pretty brandable, I feel like. So that's really always the thing I check first.
Okay, so you don't mind having the at the beginning of your domain, so you just it's brandable to you, you're good.
Yeah, if it's brandable, but really only if it's brandable. So only for the footballer. I wouldn't do like the football guide. Then I would just try to shorten it to football guide or football guide, something like that.
Gotcha. Well, I think we covered pretty much all our topics. That's actually very insightful. I enjoyed the name server change trick there. I hope everyone's listening has taken that into account. That was
I really hope it
a
helps.
good
It really shocked me. It's
yeah.
so weird that that is the thing, that that's the solution.
Yeah, because everyone's going, rank math API or Google API stuff, Bing API stuff to try and get things indexed, but something as simple as that works, or that seems to work so far. So if anyone's listening and you do that and it works, please let us know at the Niche Website Builders. There's even a Facebook group you can jump in, guys, that you can get in there and let us know as well, because that'd be very interesting to know if anyone else has the same, I guess, results from doing that.
Yeah, I wanted to say it's also a solution that really has no drawbacks either. It just changed the name servers. If it doesn't work, just go back to your host one. It's no different than setting up a Zoic ad. Yeah, that's
right. Yeah, exactly. Just like going through Cloudflare or something like that too. So very easy to do. But thank you for coming on, Jasper. I really, really appreciate it. If anyone wants to kind of follow you, see what you're up to, is anywhere they can find you?
Yeah, I've got my own YouTube channel where I'm just following my journey. I'm making monthly income reports. I'm just going over the things that I'm doing in a month. And the channel is named after myself. It's just Jasper Peterson.
Perfect. Maybe send that to me and we'll throw that in the description as well. So if anyone's looking to find you, they can find you easily.
Will do.
Perfect. Thanks for coming on, Jasper. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Cheers.
Thanks for tuning in, and I hope you enjoyed the show. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you're listening. Until the next episode, goodbye.